Marathon. Mr. Blue.
Hey, please, the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Thomas Blue. I'm here for the appellants. Appellants respectfully submit that the district court erred below by dismissing the appellant's complaint without offering at least one opportunity to amend the complaint. The Seventh Circuit addressed the issues required to be pled in a complaint involving an unlawful tying arrangement in the Rayford versus South Central Wisconsin case.
One of the problems, I'm puzzled now, so the tying agreement is the Marathon franchise, right?
It's a petroleum franchise. That's correct, Your Honor.
Now, what's the market?
The petroleum franchising market involves all branded oil companies in the United States.
What's the indication in the complaint that Marathon has, you know, market power in that market?
In the petroleum franchising context, in the United States, there's an oligopoly on the oil industry, including petroleum franchising. Now, there are huge barriers to entry in the oil industry because you need control of oil reserves. There's limited storage and refining and transportation capacity.
What is Marathon's market share?
In the 17 states, it varies from 5% to 12%.
What does it sound
on a state-by-state
like?
What
does it sound like much?
Well, ordinary, Your Honor, a 5% market share wouldn't be much, except when there's an oligopoly, it's a tremendous amount of market power.
What do you mean by oligopoly?
As addressed in our reply brief, Your Honor, an oligopoly, although it's not a monopoly, an oligopoly gives the entrance to that market special market power because a few select big oil companies control the market.
Well, it's generally proven by market share. That's one of the major elements.
Well, that's when we get into the Jefferson Parish case. And the Jefferson Parish case dealt with one hospital. To put it in context, it dealt with one hospital of many hospitals in Jefferson Parish. To put this in context, we're dealing with a major oil company.
Yeah, Jefferson Parish is a long time ago, and the Supreme Court has been tightening up the standards. And in particular, of course, with the Bell Atlantic opinion, requires that, you know, that you're complaint make clear that you really have a pretty good case. And all you say, really, I'm looking at your complaint, all I see is you say there's a relevant market in all or parts of the 17 states, whatever that means, and that it's the fourth largest integrated oil and gas company. That's all you say. You don't say anything about
ordinarily
the situation they face.
Ordinarily, market power is a question of fact for the jury. And
look, you have to reckon with the Bell Atlantic case, and of course the Matsushita case.
What's
when you put them together, the Supreme Court wants the complaint, which you go on at enormous length, to indicate that, you know, you have a pretty good economically rational case, that Marathon has the kind of market power that would enable it to force its customers to pay, you know, excessive fees for processing credit cards, right?
Unfortunately for the appellants, though, the Bell Atlantic case and the Ligon case, which affects our price-fixing cause of action, came down after this case was fully briefed with the district court. That puts plaintiff at an unfair advantage because of change in law.
No. After it was briefed, you file more briefs or supplemental briefs, right? Keep going. Anyway, I just don't see the case. If Marathon, as far as we know from the complaint, Marathon faces tough competition from all sorts of other companies, and if it's highly competitive, then I don't see how it can charge, you know, a super competitive price for processing cards. Its dealers will switch to some other oil company, right?
But because of the limited choice of oil companies to choose from, and they control corners across the street.
What's limited? So for a given You don't indicate how many companies are operating in the area covered by all of the. So you're representing all of Marathon's dealers?
This purports to be a class action
right.
on
you
behalf
want to
of all dealers,
all their dealers.
Who are forced to accept.
Well, yes, but presumably but the situation of the different dealers differs. So can you really say to us that every single Marathon, thousands of dealers, every single one of these dealers is stuck with Marathon and doesn't have competitive alternatives?
That's correct. There's a de facto requirement.
That? That's so
it's
ridiculous. You'd have to look at a particular market and say, here's a dealer, and how many other oil companies are there who have, you know, who operate in that area from whom he could get a franchise? You don't have anything like that.
But they Marathon controls many of the corners in the 17
many
states.
Of the but the other corners that it doesn't control, right? You're trying to represent how many thousands of dealers?
About 5,000, Your Honor.
5,000. Well, don't you think the competitive circumstances facing them are really quite heterogeneous?
No, they have the same
no,
lack of choice,
on.
Your Honor.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Marathon Oil Company has
you
a tremendous 5, amount of market.
You say 5,000, your 5,000 dealers in your class are all have faced the identical competitive situation?
Well, they only
say
have
that?
They only have five other major oil companies to choose from, Your Honor. And
what
they
about
all
minor
do it.
Oil?
That's the dirty little secret.
Minor? What about minor oil companies?
Petroleum franchising, well, is, there are only minor regional
Speedway
jobbers.
Speedway is a different brand, isn't it?
No, Speedway is a wholly owned subsidiary
yeah,
of Marathon.
It's not sold in Marathon stations.
Speedway in
sold
Indiana.
In Speedway stations.
In
right?
Indiana.
Huh?
In Indiana, my client was not able to even apply to become a Speedway franchisee. They're all company-operated stations. That brand's not available to the plaintiffs in Indiana.
How about Arizona?
Well, he's certainly available in Wisconsin.
In Arizona, Marathon is not available.
Could I ask you?
Yes, sir.
Isn't Speedway a big brand in Wisconsin?
Sure.
Okay.
Just yes, a credit card. Thank you. Does the credit card handbag handbook... does that contradict the allegation in your complaint that all credit and debit card transactions must be processed solely through Marathon and Speedway? Because the processing restriction in the handbook appears only to apply to the Marathon Platinum MasterCard.
See, I don't think so, Rana. There are definitely... There's an ambiguity at most, or worse to the plaintiff. It states on page 11 of our brief that the dealer is required to process all sales through Marathon existing proprietary network. Right? There's an ambiguity whether or not that applies to just Marathon credit cards or not. But the ambiguity doesn't really exist because we're forced to process through their equipment. Their equipment only allows us to process through their merchant bank. And their merchant bank and credit card processing has nothing to do with the Marathon trademark. It does not matter to you when you pull up to a service station, when you dip your American Express card into that Island card reader, which bank processes that. That means nothing. I have no problem with the concept under the Chawla case that the dealer is faced with contractual requirements. And to the extent the dealer is faced with the contractual requirement to accept credit card fees, I think there's a legitimate business reason to do that. However, to force the dealer to process through their vendor so they can get a kickback, and by the way, they do. That's the truth. I can prove that in court. They get a kickback. They have a financial interest. So what incentive do they have to offer competitive rates? None. Marathon is the highest processing fee in the industry among petroleum franchisees. And as far as the market power is concerned, I respectfully disagree with Your Honor about... When you have five or six major oil companies
it's
controlling
loose.
The market.
It's too loose. Look, there are highly competitive markets that have only a few sellers, like the airlines, right? They're going broke competing with each other.
Because of the fuel prices.
Yeah, but the point is, you can't just reason automatically. You can't, from the fact that there aren't, you know, 1,000 competitors, The individual competitors can screw their consumers, right?
Isn't that a question of fact, Your Honor? Have we judicially outlawed antitrust law?
Question of fact. That's your problem.
Have we judicially outlawed antitrust law?
That's an absurd comment. That is ridiculous. Don't waste our time with that, please. But I want to ask you about your other argument. You've got this notion that the banks have gotten together and conspired with Marathon to jack up these processing costs. That's your second theory.
That's indicative of Marathon's market power.
No, I don't understand that. Marathon has what? It's forced the banks to collude with each other, or what? I don't get it.
What other industry besides the oil industry?
Ask a
Marathon.
Question. Explain to us what is this theory? The banks got together and enlisted Marathon, or Marathon forced the banks to get together, or what?
Marathon forced the banks.
Marathon can force the nation's biggest banks to do something they don't want to do.
Billions of dollars every day of credit card of fuel is purchased on credit cards. In order for the credit card industry to have access to those transactions and make their money, they have to cow down to Marathon Oil Company.
Controlling the credit card industry?
Absolutely. That's indicative of their market power.
Do I hear you correct? Marathon controls the credit card industry.
We're talking about billions of dollars in transactions which the credit card industry wants control of, so they have to count out a Marathon Oil Company to get their business and pay them kickbacks.
So
what other business
if they
in the country
give the
can do that?
Kickback, Marathon wouldn't let its customers use credit cards. That's what you're saying?
Well,
is that what you're saying?
They could just require their customers to use proprietary cards, like the Shell has the Shell card.
Let their purchasers use any other credit card.
Well, the difference is other retailers.
You're suggesting Marathon, if the credit card companies didn't buckle under to it, it would tell its customers, you can just use the Marathon card. You can't pay for gas with any other credit card. Is that your argument?
That's how Exxon used to do it.
Is that your argument?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
It's true. No other retailer in the country can get away with that.
Just Marathon. It's the most powerful company in the nation.
Well, it's one of the most powerful oil companies. The other oil companies do the same thing.
But you say no other oil company could get away with this.
They all get away with it, John.
They all control the credit card industry, or just Marathon? The oil companies control the credit card industry. Is that what you're saying?
Controlling
because
the
if the credit card companies didn't go along, the oil companies would not allow their customers to use any other credit card. Is that it?
Well, the element is the tide affects a not insubstantial amount of interstate commerce in the tide product. We're talking about billions of dollars of transactions.
How much profit does Marathon make on the credit card processing piece of the transaction?
Out of about, right now, the average dealer makes about 8 cents a gallon before credit card fees. Credit card fees, because of the prices, are up to about 10 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. Out of that 10 cents, Marathon, is my understanding, is taking about 2 cents a gallon. Right? Now, if we could switch credit card processors, we could lower that. In fact, there are credit card processing companies through the National Association of Convenience Store Sales, which would lower our cost by 25%, which is a substantial amount of money to gas station dealers who only make their profits in pennies.
Okay.
They're charging a fee to the dealers, but they're giving a kickback to Marathon. Is that your understanding of how the system works?
The bank that processes
the
credit cards.
The dealer has to pay a fee to use a credit card, right?
No, the consumer doesn't pay. The dealer pays.
Consumer pays, obviously.
Well, I'm sure some of that reaches down to the consumer.
The credit card company, right?
The credit card company, in order to get that business, they pay a kickback to Marathon to secure Marathon's business to process their credit cards. And it goes on, and all the major oil companies do it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Blow.
Thank you.
Mr. Rohde?
Good May it please the Court. My name is David Rohde, representing the Appellees in this matter. To pick up on a few of the points...
Before you do, could I just ask you this? Why are the credit card processing services chosen by Marathon necessary to operate a fuel service station?
Your Honor, let me address your earlier question and this question. The credit card handbook makes it perfectly clear at page A1 that the dealers have a choice of buying credit card processing services through Marathon or through some other provider. Page A1 makes it very clear that the restrictions and the processes described in the handbook only apply for those dealers who elect to use the service that Marathon has made available. It's not at all uncommon in national distribution for a manufacturer to provide its distributors and franchisees or dealers with necessary components, goods that are inputs or necessary services.
You didn't want to use this credit card processing system of Marathon's. Well, what would it do,
Your Honor? It would contact another processing provider, perhaps one affiliated with the National Association of Convenience Stores, and ask to have its transactions processed by that provider.
And could the dealer owners use the different card processing services for everything but the Marathon MasterCard without penalty?
Yes, Your Honor. As the district court found in interpreting the documents, the only penalty applies to the Marathon Platinum MasterCard, where there is an additional fee that is required in order for the ultimate retail consumer to benefit from the points that the special bank has agreed to extend.
But as a matter of practicality, Would the dealer have to have two sets of equipment?
Your Honor, as a matter of practicality, if I could step back for 1 second, dealers on the whole elect to process their transactions through the Marathon network because Marathon, what Marathon does is the banks process the cards. Marathon receives the receivable from that transaction and offsets that credit against the dealer's gasoline invoice and rent. So it speeds up the payment, and it actually helps out the dealer's cash flow. So that is why dealers on the whole choose the option of using the Marathon arranged network. Should they desire not to do so, the credit card handbook makes clear that they are not required to do so, and the only additional penalty, quote-unquote, that they face is on the Marathon-branded MasterCard. There's a $10 plus 4% additional charge. And that's because...
Marathon has a credit card labeled Marathon that goes to the... whatever the network is you mentioned.
That's correct, Your Honor. Marathon has a proprietary card, which is a Marathon card that is only usable at Marathon stations. But then, in terms of broader appeal...
You have certain benefits from using that. You get
the main benefit to the
credits for buying enough gasoline or something.
But if you go up to a Marathon station, can you use another credit card in the same slot on the pump?
The customer can, yes, Your Honor.
The customer can. That's true whether or not the dealer is using the Marathon credit processing system?
Your Honor, Marathon, if a dealer were to elect to go with another processing provider, Marathon requires in paragraph 9 of the lease that the dealer accept credit cards and accept all credit cards that Marathon has made the uniform national decision to accept. So they would have to sign up with a provider that processes Diners Club, American Express, all
right.
The
costs. And then what would it do if someone shows up with a Marathon card?
Your Honor, I don't know how that would work as a matter of fact.
Well, they'd have to have two sets of credit cards. Card processing equipment, wouldn't they?
Your Honor, I apologize. I'm not absolutely certain, as a matter of fact, whether the proprietary Marathon credit card would work on another.
Does that mean that all the Marathon dealers have signed used the Marathon credit card processing system?
Your Honor, obviously this is well beyond the record, but as far as I understand, all or essentially all of the dealers have.
It's academic, right? Yeah.
And of course, Your Honor, as I know the Court's aware, for the legal reasons set forth in our brief, we don't believe that any of these factual questions ultimately matter. The District Court's dismissal order can be affirmed on alternate legal grounds.
Well, your real argument is no market power, not no tie. Yeah.
Well, Your Honor, we argue first no tie.
Looks as if it's awkward to use an alternative system.
I agree with the Court that the cleaner legal disposition is on the no market power element, the fact that these are not two separate products that have been tied together.
What more does Sheridan need to adequately allege market power? Is it your argument that once a dealer owner enters into a contract, he can never show market power because the power derives from contract? Is that?
Your Honor, that is what the Third Circuit held in the Queen City Pizza case, absent extraordinary circumstances, where a manufacturer or franchisor's power to require the distributor, dealer, franchisee to buy particular products or services from a specified source arises purely by matter of contract, there is no antitrust concern. Because, as Judge Posner indicated, there remains a competitive market in the pre-contract sphere, where the dealer has an opportunity to shop around and sign up as a Marathon dealer, a Shell dealer, a BP dealer, or to make a completely different type of investment in a different type of franchise opportunity, different type of retail establishment. Because there is competition in the pre-contract market, courts have generally held that contract power does not equate with market power in these dealership franchise tying contexts. The Fifth Circuit has held to that effect, Your Honor, in the United Farmers Agents case, and the Eleventh Circuit in the Maris Distributors case that are cited in our briefs.
Well, let me just bottom line this. Your argument is that other petroleum companies also require their franchisees or dealer owners to use particular credit and debit card processing services, right?
Your Honor, I'd say that that's certainly reflected in the case law. There are no allegations to that effect in this complaint. But certainly the Chawla case and other cases make clear that this is a very common type of system. Your Honor, very briefly on the unfair advantage question and the timing of the Twombly and the Legion decisions, Twombly was decided 4 months before the district court entered its dismissal order in this case. Marathon actually submitted a supplemental brief on the relevance of Twombly, and the plaintiffs filed no response or additional briefing. So we contend that there's certainly no unfair advantage. The parties had the opportunity to brief Twombly below, and plaintiffs chose not to avail themselves of it. Legion similarly was decided 3 months before the district court's dismissal order.
Do you want to talk about kickbacks?
Yes, Your Honor. I was getting to that. Kickbacks, what the plaintiffs describe as a kickback on their price-fixing claim is really nothing particularly unusual. As I indicated, it is not at all unusual for manufacturers who have a nationwide distribution system to make goods and services available to their distributors. And that is all that is alleged here. And it's not at all unusual that the manufacturer charges a fee for access to that network. That does not make this a kickback. And there's no reason to believe that perfectly legitimate, perfectly common commercial relationship is more consistent with anti-competitive behavior versus competitive legitimate behavior. And under Twombly, where a set of allegations is equally consistent with anti-competitive behavior or legitimate business behavior, the complaint fails. The court should dismiss because Twombly requires that the allegations push over the line to suggest an illegal agreement or some sort of illegal behavior, which is not true in this case, Your Honor. Your Honor, I'd also remind the court that to the extent plaintiffs have have talked about amendments in their briefing in this court. No leave to amend was sought in the district court at any point. Of course, we contend that any amendment would have been futile in any event, but there is waiver since the plaintiffs never sought leave to amend below. I see my time's expired.
Couldn't they amend and allege market power? They haven't alleged market power.
Your Honor, I don't believe that they could allege market power. First, the complaint.
You don't think there is any market
power? Well, I certainly don't.
They could allege it or not.
Well, the plaintiffs have two problems with that based on their current complaint. First, the complaint is inconsistent in describing what the relevant tying product market is. At paragraph 50, the plaintiffs assert that the tying product is Marathon and Speedway branded franchises. In other words, at paragraph 50, they're attempting to define a single brand market. Later on, at paragraph 54, the plaintiffs suggest that Marathon has economic power in branded petroleum franchises. It appears there that they're taking the position that the relevant market is broader and includes all branded petroleum franchises. Your Honor, the first market definition is problematic under the Queen City Pizza case, which makes clear that single brand market definitions are inappropriate in this type of case. And the second conclusory market definition proposed by the plaintiffs is inconsistent with the common economic reality that we all know, that Marathon does not dominate the highly competitive gasoline market. And the market share statistics that were quoted here are beyond the record, but they certainly don't come anywhere close to stating a claim for market power.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rohde.
Thank you.
Mr. Blow, your time has expired, but we'll give you another minute. So do you want to amend your complaint?
Yes, Your Honor, I think we can.
What do you want to put in the amended complaint?
I think I would address what I said today about the oil industry as a whole having an oligopoly and addressing all the majors doing the very same practice, that regardless of which oil company we choose, they have, in essence, created monopoly.
Why did you ask for leave to file a complaint?
I did in my reply, Your Honor. In the conclusion section, we did in our reply.
In the district court?
In the district court to our 12B6 in the conclusion paragraph, request leave to amend consistent
with
the court.
This was after Twombly?
No, it's when we filed our reply, Your Honor.
Our reply to what?
Their 12B6 motion, our opposition to the 12B6 motion. It was in there, and it's addressed in our opening brief. I don't know why they can say that we didn't request it. We did.
And so that motion is in the record?
Yes, Your Honor. Okay.
Is that what you asked the court for leave to amend to add material about competition in the oil industry?
We did not provide the actual amendment to the court, but we asked the court.
What did you say you wanted to do?
We requested leave to amend consistent with the court's opinion on whether or not we've alleged a tie, an unlawful tie satisfactory, or the price fixing. However, because both the Bell Atlantic and Ligon case came down after, none of those legal standards were addressed in our complaint.
Mr. Rohde said that Marathon filed a brief after that.
As I understood it, Marathon sent a letter to the court attaching a copy of the Bell Atlantic decision. I didn't consider that to be a brief.
So
I considered it alerting the court of a new decision that may impact us. Whether or not that should be given, we should be given leave to amend because of it, I thought was in the sound discretion of the court, which I think we should be given at least one shot. Lastly, I would like to leave this court with a thought. The U.S. Supreme Court in Standard Oil versus the United States addressed unlawful tying with major oil companies and involving tires, batteries, and accessories. In our opening brief, we cite a number of unlawful tying cases starting back with U.S. Supreme Court decision 1949 through the 80s, and even Davis versus Marathon, which held Marathon had market power, making it the imposition of forcing sales of tires, batteries, and accessories an unlawful tie. Why is this case any different? Where's the market power gone? If anything, Marathon's only gotten stronger and bigger.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Blow and Mr. Rohde.
Thank you.
Next case for argument.